All right, Matthew chapter 9, please. And another familiar text as far as missions is concerned. Trust that God will challenge and bless hearts this evening. Beginning in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, we ask this evening in the name of Jesus that you might be pleased to bless the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, that each heart would be attentive to what the Spirit of God might have for them this evening. And we'll thank you, Father, for that which is going to be accomplished for us in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Again, a three-point outline that you might want to jot down. I want you to notice, first of all, the possibilities are abundant. The possibilities are abundant. Secondly, the personnel is absent. The personnel is absent. And thirdly, praying is the answer. Praying is the answer. In verse 36, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he wasn't talking about just a few people. He's talking about the multitudes. And in verse 37, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. So this is no small, insignificant conversation here. It took us to 1830 to reach the first billion people on the face of the earth. And here we are in 2012, and the population is, near as we can tell, 6.7 billion people. Truly, there is a great multitude of people. And the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And folks, that's exactly what we need to ask God to do for us, to give us a vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We need to see the harvest fields. We need to see that they're plenteous. We need to see that there are multitudes without the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 70 nations in the world that have no fundamental independent Baptist missionaries. 30% of those fundamental independent Baptist missionaries serve in five countries. 30% of fundamental independent Baptist missionaries serve in five countries. 42% of those in the 1040 window have no fundamental independent Baptist missionaries. You say, Brother Cadwell, why are you emphasizing that? It's because that's what we are. At least I am. I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. I'm not ashamed of it. And the truth is, there are hundreds of thousands of missionaries out there tonight But I guarantee you the great majority of them are not preaching what you would hear on a daily basis or on a weekly basis at Cross Point Baptist Church. There's more to it than just preaching Jesus saves. And there's more to it than just getting folks saved and then going down the road and trying to lead some. You've got to disciple them. The Great Commission indicates, as Dr. Parker used to say, to evangelize, to baptize, and to catechize. We're to win them, we're to baptize them, and we're to teach them. And we don't just get a few here and there in a matter of notches on the gospel gun. That's not what it's all about. Today, in the world that we live in, there are 24,000, give or take, people groups. 24,000 people groups. When you read the word nations in some of these verses, these commissions, like in Matthew chapter 28, that word nation indicates people groups. We have a nation, but there are many groups in that nation. And there are 24,000 people groups, and 8,000 of that 24,000 have never been reached with the gospel. There are 3,000 people groups today in the world that have no missionary, no church, and no one is reaching them. 3,000 people groups. No church. No gospel message. No missionary there. And 2/3 of those of the unreached countries are in the 1040 window. And when we talk about the 1040 window, we're talking about those who are between the 10th parallel and the 40th parallel. Those from India, China, Africa through China, and that gap. 2/3 of the world's population. And the fact is, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and those who are in the far countries of China represent 3.5 billion people, or over 1/2 of the world's population. You know, it's amazing to me how we say we believe the Bible, we believe that God is real, and we can go down the list as fundamental Baptists, what we say we believe. And yet I see very few people willing to go out and follow the command of God that says, go ye therefore. He says to all the world, to every creature. We sit in our pews and chairs of complacency and twiddle our thumbs and worry about whether our favorite team is going to win or not, and could care less about thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that are dying without Christ and going to a sinner's hell. Folks, the possibilities are abundant. Before I started going to the former Soviet Union, God allowed me to travel to over 60 countries in this world, 6 of the 7 continents. And I want you to know there are people everywhere that need Jesus. I was on the island of Java several years ago. And the island of Java is about the same size as the state of Florida. 20 million people in Florida. 100 million on the island of Java, nearly the same size as Florida. I've been to Iceland. One fundamental Baptist church on the island of Iceland. I heard a missionary speak the other day, and he said that only less than 1% of folk in Germany attend church. Folks, the fields are white already. I mean, there's a plenteous harvest. And hear me, we live in the time, the dispensation, when God means for us to be reaping. This is the time of winning souls and planting churches. God's given us a space of grace. I get so frustrated because I can't go to every country. A pastor friend of mine said, "Brother Neil, you can't win the whole world by yourself." I said, "No, but I'd like to try." You know, we think, well, I'm just one person. Well, if you let God use you, you'd be surprised what one person can do. We saw that in the life of William Carey. We see it in the life of Hudson Taylor. We see it in the life of Adoniram Judson. And we could go on and on and on. What about you? You said, "Brother Cadwell, I've got to look out for my family. I've got to make sure that I make a living and they..." Tell that to these young couples who've got small children who are leaving their families and leaving their homes and leaving their country to go to somewhere else to tell folk about Jesus. That's exciting! Not only the possibilities abundant, I want you to notice the personnel is absent. Verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. But my, oh my, but the laborers are few." The laborers are few. Someone has guessed, estimated there are about 400,000 missionaries. You say, "Whoa!" As I said before, there are a lot of missionaries, but a lot of them are not preaching the Word of God as it is and as it should be. 31% of those as missionaries come from the United States. 69% of missionaries now are serving outside, that who are outside of the USA. And America used to be the leader in sending missionaries to the mission fields. Now, I'm not against African countries sending out missionaries. I'm not against... Listen, the Koreans, even though they're Presbyterian, most of them, they are sending out missionaries by the truckload. In fact, we had a student come from Uzbekistan. And she had been led to the Lord by some Koreans at a university where she was attending. That's how she got saved. It's not just Americans, but folks, the Americans are failing. We're losing. Less than 5,000 missionaries are being prepared on any given year in the United States of America. The personnel is absent. In America, we have one pastor for every 555 people in the United States. We have one missionary to every 600,000 in Europe. We have one missionary for every 480,000 in India. And we have one fundamental independent Baptist missionary to every 8 million in Indonesia. Hey, do you think there's any place you could go? Do you think there's any doors that might possibly be open? You say, well, Brother Cato, I just couldn't go. And I know some can't go. But you can give and you can pray so that those who can go will be able to go because they have those folk here in America who are supporting them and encouraging them. I've been to Australia 5 times to hold evangelistic crusades. And the last time I was there, there were between 40 to 50 churches in Australia that had no pastor. I'm talking about good churches. The former Soviet Union. There's all kinds of churches that need pastors. Towns that have no church at all, not even an Orthodox church, and they need somebody to come in and plant a church. But I want you to notice, thirdly, and I'm sorry if the message is going to be a little short, you're going to get out a little early, I feel bad about that. But I want you to notice, thirdly, praying is the answer. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore. Why? Because there are multitudes and the fields are plenteous and the labors are few. Because of that, we need to pray. You need to pray for the Comstocks. You need to pray for the Zimmermans. You need to pray for your missionaries that you have. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. First of all, we're to pray to the Lord. Pray to God. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. I'm convinced that a lot of folk don't pray for folk to go to the mission field because they're afraid God's going to call them. A friend of mine was the third ranking banker in all of the West Indies. He was high on the totem pole. And he and his wife got saved. And when they got saved, they started listening to a Christian radio station. A good radio station that I've been there and spoken on. And they heard that the new president on the island of Dominica forbid any missionaries to be on the island, and a missionary by the name of Johnny Daniels that was serving there had to leave the island. And so they made the announcement on the radio broadcast, pray that somehow God will raise up a national that can go to that island and serve and take Brother Daniel's place. Brother Daniel's worked out on the area where the Carib Indians were, and that was the last flesh-eating tribe left in the world. And Brother Daniels can tell you stories that'll curl your hair of things that he and his family went through. And so, Brother Challenger and his wife began to pray that God would send somebody to Dominica. And nobody knew it, but Brother Challenger's wife was half Carib Indian. And because of her background, it would be possible for her to go and take her husband and serve on the Carib Indian Reserve. And you know what happened as they prayed? God gave them the burden. They went to Dominica and they went to the Indian Reserve. And I wish I had time to tell you the things I've gone through just being there on three different trips. I literally thought I was going to die one night. In fact, I may have. I'm not sure. But I'm convinced people are afraid to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth labor because they're afraid God might call them. Listen to me. If God were to call you, that ought to be the most exciting thing in your life. Amen. For God to call you to serve Him. Amen. You can't have a higher calling. Pray the Lord, and not only pray the Lord, but He will send forth laborers. Send. God's a sending God. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, and He is the Lord of the harvest, that He might send forth laborers and send them into His harvest. You know, that verse assures me of something. It assures me that if I go forth sent by Him, I'm going to be able to partake in the harvest. I'm going to be able to see folk come to Christ. I don't know about you, but I know this preacher still gets thrilled every time I see somebody walk an aisle to receive Christ as their Savior. Or to be able to lead a person to the Lord one-on-one. Possibilities are abundant, folks. Personnel is absent. That personnel might be you. Maybe you're the one that needs to go. And listen. Don't use, well, I can give or I can pray as a cop-out for what God wants you to do if God wants you to go. Amen. Now, we need those who will give. We need those who will pray. But we also need those who want to get into the harvest and reap. So the possibilities are abundant, the personnel is absent, and praying is the answer. How about it, friend? Are you willing to go and do and be whatever God asks of you? Let's stand for prayer, please.